Come on, will you put your hands together and help me welcome the Celebration Church Network right now? Awesome. Man, God bless you guys in Hardy County, Middleburg, Orange Park, and our South Campus as well. We are so excited that you're with us today here at Celebration Church, whatever campus you're attending, or if you are watching by television today. Come on, let's give it up for our television audience as well. Man, I'm really glad that you're tuning in today, and we're in a series called Fit here at Celebration Church, and we're talking about spiritual fitness and spiritual health. And I'm going to talk about something today that I believe is really, really going to help us. It's a tough topic, but I believe that it is something worth fighting for, and I believe that you are going to have that same conviction as well. You know, here at Celebration Church, we've been talking about our foundational values that come from our mission statement of empowering people to live a God-first life. And last week, we talked about discipleship. And really, here at Celebration Church, we call it transformational discipleship, meaning that we believe in discipleship that actually changes you, that can actually transform your life, and that many people view discipleship as just learning. And although that is the foundational step, because the Bible says that we can be destroyed for our lack of knowledge. We have to have understanding to put the Word of God into practice. But discipleship is not just about learning. It's also about living. It's about putting God's Word into practice, with the end result of that being loving, a true transformation in your life where you're experiencing more of the goodness of God. And on that theme of discipleship, I want to talk to you about purity of heart today, purity of heart, and really how that relates to the power of confession, the power of confession. And many of us, you know, we have times in our life where maybe we fall into things that we shouldn't be involved in, or we allow our lives to get sloppy, or we succumb to temptation. And many of the times when we do that, it's not something that people know, and it's something that it's just between us and God. And it's so important that we understand that as soon as that happens, man, we need to go to God in repentance and confession. Because if we don't do that quickly, what can happen is that can begin to become a cycle. And then all of a sudden, we now have a secret in our life. And I want to talk to you today about secrets and confessions. Secrets and confessions. Look here, Proverbs 28:13. This is kind of the theme scripture. A couple of scriptures here that we're going to be going off of. It says, "He who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy." And also here, and you can look in your bulletins, there's sermon notes there for you if you want to follow us along in that as well. And in your sermon notes, it actually says Proverbs 32, but this is actually Psalm 32. David speaking here. Many of you know the story of David, where he had a terrible sin and a terrible secret at one time. He committed adultery with a woman named Bathsheba, and he actually had Bathsheba's husband killed, and he had a terrible secret, a terrible sin on the inside that was causing him guilt and shame and pain. And look what he says here. He says, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away." And that's what happens when we have a secret sin. And we're going to talk about secret sexual sins, when those things get a hold of us on the inside and they begin to grip us, and we don't come clean with God in confession, and it begins to eat us away on the inside. That's what David's talking about here. He says, "My bones wasted away. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess." And see, the important thing that you need to understand is, even if you have a secret in your life, if you have an addiction, if you have a bad habit and it's eating you away, and you know if people found out about it, man, it would be so shameful and so embarrassing. I want you to know, look, God sees everything. God knows everything. He knows. Aren't you glad that God is the only one that knows everything that we're thinking? Man. What if everything you ever did, everything you ever thought was publicized for the whole world to see? Whew. But you know, God sees our hearts. He sees, he knows everything. And you know what? He loves you so much. And that's the mistake that Adam first made in the garden. That what happened? He sinned, and the shame and the guilt, like initially with David, it pushed him away from God. But it wasn't until he came to God that he began to find relief and cleansing and mercy. And the important thing about confession is, watch this, and we're going to get into this for a little bit today. It's very important, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter what you've done, no matter what kind of secret you have, no matter how bad it is, guess what? The blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin. Cleanses you from all sin. And so when we confess to God, we get forgiveness. However, James 5 also tells us to confess our faults one to another so that we may be healed. And that's really not talking about, you know, going to someone and telling them all your deepest, darkest secrets, you know, and getting weird and getting mushy and all that kind of stuff. But what the Bible is talking about is, listen, we all have faults. We all have areas of weakness. And what God is saying here is he's designed the body of Christ where we can have real, authentic relationships, where you can have a few friends that you can go to and say, man, I'm struggling in this area. And guys, that is what Flex is all about. It's about getting around men that are real. Let me tell you something. You think you got a problem? Listen, almost everybody has a problem. And it's not until we understand that we got to band together, we got to join the resistance, man. Because sexual sin and pornography and leading into sexual addictions and sexual secrets, listen, it is at epidemic proportions. It is out of control. And it affects you, it affects your family, it affects your kids. Did you know, latest statistics say that all children in the U.S., all kids and youth in the U.S., between the ages of 8 years old, 8 and 16, 90% of those kids have already viewed pornography. 90% of kids age 8 to 16 in the United States have already viewed pornography. It is out of control. They say that adult bookstores and adult movie stores now outnumber McDonald's 3-1. Did you know that the pornographic industry every year makes more money than all TV, radio, media, music, ABC, Fox, everything combined? It is out of control. It is the attack of the enemy. The Bible says, look, that we wrestle against spiritual forces of wickedness. And what the enemy does is what Satan does and his spiritual forces of wickedness. He lures us in with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And he has found something in our modern day culture. Let me tell you why it's so bad now. Is because, you know, I don't know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, whenever it was, you know, you used to have to go through some effort to get into some bad stuff. You know, you're at least going to have to, you know, whatever you're going to have to go into store to get a magazine. You know, you're going to have to face a cashier. You're going to have to go and get something. And many times that boundary, we're going to talk about opportunities and boundaries. Many times that boundary right there, when you got in a moment of weakness, you might not do it. Why? You had to go to the store. You actually had to, you know, do something, go to some effort. You might be seen. Well, you know what? Nowadays, you can get in your room. You can lock the doors. You can close the blinds. And you can get behind that computer, and it's just one click away from the worst perversion, defilement, filth, degrading. It's one click. Or you know what it is? It's one push of a button to order that movie. And we get in a room, and we think that nobody's going to know, and no one's going to see it, and maybe they won't. But you don't realize you've just fallen into the trap of the enemy. And that's just the beginning. He wants to take you down a cycle, a road to destruction. And what we have to understand, we have to say enough is enough. And I'm telling you, and guys, listen, it's not just guys anymore. You know, they say now a third, 35% of viewers of internet pornography are now women. It's out of control. And we can push it under the rug and we can come to church and maybe you don't want me talking about this. Well, guess what? We're going to talk about it. Uh-huh. Listen. We're going to talk about it, man. We are going to talk about the stuff and we are going to talk about what is going on because it's not going away and I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. But I'm telling you right now, it's time that we say enough is enough. Do you see? We're going to get free and we're going to lead others into freedom and we're not going to cooperate with the father of lies and get sucked into his plan and have all that stuff come in and bring guilt and shame and secrets and pain and destruction. Some of you sitting in this room, you've already experienced that pain. You've already experienced the consequences of a sexual addiction or a secret like that. And many of you, if I brought you up on stage, man, you'd probably come up here weeping and you'd tell people, flee sexual immorality, just like God's word says. It blinds us. Let me tell you what the plan of the enemy is, and you can look in the notes real quick. It's five things. Here's his plan. First of all, he gives us an opportunity. We have an opportunity. In other words, It's the movie station, it's the internet, it's the whatever it is, it's the coworker, it's the neighbor where there's been some inordinate effect. Whatever, all of a sudden he places an opportunity. And we have to be so, this is where the decision comes in. Okay, that we're all tempted. We're all gonna be tempted. But this is that whole decide, commit, succeed. This is where you've got to cut it off at the root. We're going to talk about that. But here's this five-step process. He gives us an opportunity. Genesis 4:7, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. I'm going to give you a plan to master it today. And guess what? You're going to have some work to do. And it's so important that we understand the consequences that these things have. Look, it's not just about you. Some of you, you have a wife. You have a daughter. Some of you are the victims of someone else's sexual sin or secret. And yes, God can forgive and God can cleanse and all that, man, but the consequences of that. He gives us an opportunity. The next thing we do is we take a look. James 1:14. Each one, when he is tempted by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. And here's where the process begins. We don't resist that opportunity, but we begin to investigate that. And that leads to the third thing. We begin to reason. We start saying, you know, I wonder if I could get away with this. You know, this isn't gonna really hurt me. No one's gonna know about this. Do you see what I'm saying? We start reasoning, and in some cases, it's even worse, especially in cases of adultery. We start to justify it before God. We start to think things like, you know, this girl was supposed to be my wife anyway. See, the mistake I made was when I married, and this woman is the right woman for me, or the other way around. The girl says, you know, the mistake was when I married, and this guy's the right, you know, God wants me to be happy. God wants me, let me tell you, sexual sin is not the happiness that God has for you. Man, that's a lie. We start to reason, we start to justify. This isn't really gonna hurt me. It is really gonna hurt you. So that's what we do. We have an opportunity, we take a look, we begin to reason, and then we take a step. James 1:15, then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. This is the act. We justify, this is the click of the computer. This is the ordering of the pornographic movie. This is the, we cross the line and we make a proposition or a move to someone that's married or someone that's not married to us or whatever it is. This is when you're single, you sleep over at your boyfriend or girlfriend's house and engage in sexual immorality. This is the act. And see, here's what we think. We think, I'm just going to do it this once. Man, that's a lie. It's a lie. This is where we get stupid. You know, I'm from Louisiana, and in Louisiana, I've never been, but I have several friends that go turkey hunting. Okay? And a turkey is one of the hardest things to kill, they tell me. However, at a certain time of year, I think it's in April or something like that, they say, man, there's this certain, you know, it's like this three-week window when they go into heat, the female turkeys or the mating thing or however that works. And a turkey is actually, he's so hard to kill and he's so sensitive and aware and all that kind of stuff. But guess what? When the female turkeys are in heat, all of a sudden, a turkey hunter just has to go, gobble, gobble, you know, just you know, just kind of, yeah, you know. I'm a girl, you know, and all of a sudden that, all of a sudden that turkey that was so wise and stealth and smart, all of a sudden that thinker, he done bowed up them feathers. Come on. I mean, out of nowhere, he just coming out of the woods. I'm gonna give me some. Come on. They get stupid. Some of you deer hunters, the same thing. Those big bucks, you go out in the field, here's all the does out there. You don't ever see a buck. Maybe they'll come to the edge of the field and kind of stick out there and eat a little bit, but lo and behold, here comes rutting season. Here comes mating season. And all of a sudden, that big buck that was so wise and smart, and all of a sudden, you know, he's just strutting out there, man. He gets stupid. Let me tell you, God hadn't called you to, you know why turkeys do that? Because they're a turkey. God hadn't called you to be a turkey. You're not an animal that goes into heat. Hello, regardless of what the evolutionists say. Yes, isn't that liberating? We weren't birthed out of a free-form amino acid lifeless rock into an amoeba. Whoa, we're not, man, that is so logical. But we get stupid. You're not a turkey, man, you're an eagle. God's called you to soar. You can control your body. You can flee sexual immorality. God can give you the power to say no. You can soar above it like the eagle. But what happens is we think, oh, it's only going to do once. Okay, I'll do it. No one will know. And then that'll be it. And I'll go to God and I'll get forgiveness. But what happens? The fifth step of the process, then a cycle starts. Then you're hooked. Just like then he's throwing out that bait, man. He's reeling you. Just like that fish. I'm just going to take this bite. Get on out of here. Whoop. You're hooked. You're hooked. And what happens is here's where the guilt, the shame, the pain, the destruction starts to build up. And so what we do, we have these moments of sobriety. We have these moments of fear of God or season of prayer and fast. You know, and we get right with God. Watch, we go to God in confession. Absolutely. And we get forgiveness and things are right. And we might experience a period of sexual sobriety or sexual freedom. But what happens? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And sooner or later, you see, the cares of this life has weighed you down. You're tired, and lo and behold, here comes another opportunity, and whoosh, you're right back in the cycle. Well, listen, I believe this. I believe if the enemy uses a five-step plan of deception to hook us in, guess what? I believe we can counter that with a five-step plan to get out of that addiction. Can I have a good amen? To break that cycle once and for all, where it's not periodic seasons of victory. But guess what? It's victory for the long haul. But watch, you're going to have to decide and you're going to have to commit to these things. And if you do that, you will succeed and you can have spiritual health and physical health and mental health and soulish health. And you can be spiritually fit for the long haul, not just have seasons of freedom and then fall back into some type of secret or some type of cycle. But I need to say this. Look, if the enemy is working overtime to suck us in, then you might have to put in a little overtime to break out. I mean, we spend so much time on stuff. Is that really making a difference in our life? And we're studying the stock market, and our kid is hooked on internet pornography. I'm getting stirred up. And you might say, well, Stovall, well, this is too heavy, man. Well, guess what? Tough. Because I'm telling you, this is a fight that is worth fighting for. It's for our children. It's for our children's children. It's for your husband. It's for your wife. It's for the next generation. Here we go. We're going to break the silence. That's the first step. Enough is enough. Everybody say enough is enough. Enough is enough. I'm going to break the cycle. So here's what we're going to do. Here's our decision process. First of all, we're going to minimize the opportunities. Proverbs 5:8, keep a path far from her. Do not go near the door of her house. Now, this is talking about a man that's being enticed and adultery, and it's an adulterous woman here. But this is a principle that is meaning temptation into any type of sexual immorality or sexual sin. You know what it says? It says, keep a path, keep a boundary far from the house, far from this type of destruction. This is what I'm talking about. Listen. You've got to make your life where your boundaries, your path is in such a way where if you're tempted and if you fall, guess what? You're still near the path. What happens is when you get too close, when your boundaries, you don't have a path far enough away from that kind of stuff. What happens is when you fall, guess what? You fall off the edge. Your path, some of you right now, your boundaries are like on the edge of a cliff. You have no boundary. You have no internet filter. You've got Cinemax. You've got HBO coming into your house. You've got free access to pornography or whatever like that. Man, you're on it. You are one step from falling off. And this is where, okay, we're going to go overtime. Here's some overtime. You have to have an internet filter. How can you have the internet one click away? Even if you don't click it, you're going to get some type of email wrapped up in some kind of trick. Hey, view this, you know, whatever. You've won $1 million. You know, just click here. Whoa! You're viewing something. Do you see what I'm saying? You have to have an internet filter. You have to protect yourself. Well, golly, Stovall, does that mean I actually have to, you know, and go and study and pay $20 a month? Yes! That's exactly what that means. Is that worth your life? Your kids? If you have Cinemax or HBO or those type of movie channels, man, you've got to get it. You've got to call Cox or DirecTV or Dish or whoever you have today. You've got to get that stuff out of your house. Are you kidding me? It's just a matter of time. You're going to be with the best into, well, I don't view that stuff, whatever. I just like, well, I don't care. Let me, if you are a man with a pulse, you know, unless you are a eunuch, you have been castrated somehow. Okay, listen, if you are a man with a pulse, you know who you're talking to, friend. You can take that somewhere else. If you are a man with a boy, it is just a matter of time for your wife's gone, no one's around, you're in by your house, you're not spiritually strong. You're weak, you're tired, you're bummed out, man, and you're flipping through the channels. Ooh. And your mind's telling you, keep going, but somehow the thumb is not moving. It just can't. It can't. That's why my life, okay? Pastor leads by example. My life. All of my whatever, internet, whatever. There's filters on everything. Everybody has access to passwords and everything else. No movie channels like that. All my accounts. Let me tell you, I just talked to the Edge internships about this. So what I do is I have a boundary where if I'm tempted and if I fall, you know, if I'm depressed and all of you boo my preaching on Sunday and we don't get this going and we don't have enough money to start this building, you know, whatever like that. And I'm all bummed out and depressed and everything. And it's late at night and Carrie's asleep and the kids are gone. Guess what? I want the worst thing to be that I just get a half gallon of vanilla ice cream and turn it on TNT and watch something like Conan the Barbarian cut somebody's head off. Come on, somebody. Okay. Do you see? So when I fall, you see, I'm still on, I haven't fallen off a cliff. But if I got free access to all the crud, you got to go home, get a filter. If you got any stash, you got to get everything out. You got to clean your house and minimize the opportunity. Second thing, especially for the guys here, we got to discipline our eyes. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. Listen, if you control one part of your body, the rest can line up. That's what that means. We have to learn to control the eyes, guys. And this is what we're going to talk about. It Flex a lot. Learning to bounce the eyes. Be accountable and bounce the eyes. Too many of us, our eyes are completely undisciplined because you're going to have stuff come in your view. Hey, you're going to have stuff that's going to come in your view. And you've got to learn, you're going to see it. You got to learn to bounce the eyes. Too many of us, we have no discipline in my eyes and something comes in our view and we're just like, animal. I am animal. Mm-hmm. Number three, magnify the consequences. We've got to magnify the consequences. Watch this. Proverbs 6:32, but a man who commits adultery lacks judgment. Whoever does so destroys himself. A man who commits adultery, watch this. Watch this. It doesn't say he lacks character. It doesn't say he lacks integrity. It doesn't say he doesn't love God. He lacks judgment. You know what that means? He lacks the wisdom to understand the consequences of his actions. And this is another great way. You know what you do? When you're tempted, think about the consequences. Think about how you're going to feel after you do it. And then think about how you're going to feel if people knew about it. I think about myself. I think about if I would commit some type of sexual sin like that, the consequences that it would have. First of all, to God, how it would offend God, how good he's been to me, how he's blessed me, how he's allowed me to be a pastor of incredible people, an incredible church. I think about my wife, who's awesome, who I love so much, who's just the perfect match for me. I couldn't have a better fit in my life, and how good she, facing her and telling her something like that, the hurt, the pain, the disappointment. I think of my kids. Having to tell my 10-year-old daughter, Kaylin, Daddy had a secret. The look in her, I mean, Kaylin, she thinks I'm like Jesus. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm not, but in her eyes, it's having to tell Kaylin, Daddy had a secret. I think about, you know, all of you. I think about the church. I think about all the campuses across the network, the disappointment, how it would let you down and how that, what God has built incredibly in 8 years and really in ministry all of my life, to lose all that in a second. How would look to the rest of the world? Yep, there's another one of those Christians out of control. They talk about self-control. They talk about holiness. Man, they can't do it. There's another one. Let's magnify the consequences. See, that, when you're thinking about no one's going to know, that's where it ends up. That's what you need to think about. Do you see? Ted Haggard. People look and they say, man, how in the world could that happen? Well, I'll tell you how it can happen. Guess what? He confessed That's the in process of 15, 20 years. That doesn't just happen overnight. That starts with a click. It starts with the order in this movie. It starts with a, are you following me? And Ted tried to work it out between him and God. And I'm sure he got forget. Ted had character. See, he lacks judgment. He tried to work it out with him and God, but that didn't work out too well. And that's why this next step is so important. And we're going to close right here with these last two. Here's where the commitment comes. I've got to manage my life with accountability. Ecclesiastes 4:10. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. This is a foundational value here at Celebration Church. At Celebration Church, we believe in authentic relationships. In other words, relationships that make a difference. That's why in the next couple of weeks, you're going to see that groups mag come out. There's men's groups. There's women's groups. There's free market groups. There's ministry groups. There's activity groups. There's all kind of things where, guess what? You can get involved and you can have real relationships with people that you can rely on. That if there is something in your life, you have to have a few friends that you can break the silence and you can talk about it. God wants to help you, but you have to make that decision. And the last thing here, make a commitment to God's standards. Obviously, God's word says right here, Psalm 119:9, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. Don't justify, don't rationalize. Say right here and right now it stops, and I'm committing to the word of God to put Jesus first, to live pure and flee sexual immorality. And I'm going to take and put these steps into practice. And watch this. Decide, commit, you're going to succeed. You'll break the cycle. That secret will be gone forever, washed away in the blood of Jesus. You can have freedom and victory in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Ushers, I need you to real quick because we're running. I need you to get ready with the communion real fast. I'm just going to ask you to bow your head. And at this time, I'm going to ask our campus pastors to come forward at whatever campuses they're at, their respective campuses. And let's go into prayer.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.